But our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 12, in verse 32. And it reads, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now that verse, in its context, beginning in verse 22, reads thus. "Then he," that is Jesus, "said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And this word of the Lord, these words that our Lord spoke, are almost seems as though he was speaking them to this generation today. All of the nations of the world, all of the peoples of the world, and the worldly people are seeking answers from the world. But our God has the answers, and it has been his good pleasure to give them to us in this book. We know who Jesus is, and we know that the answer to every question is Jesus Christ. Christians ought neither to fear nor worry. Why? Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let the worldly-minded fear and worry. Surely they shall do enough of that to compensate for our lack. These are troubling days, but our God is with us. Not even the grave, not even the tomb could quarantine our Savior. And today, he lives. And he provides for us, and he offers peace. Peace for us at his own expense. Some of you may have heard the acronym for grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. And how troubling it is that we may at times trivialize that great grace that he has bestowed upon us, and that great cost which he's paid for our salvation and for our peace. The chastisement was laid upon him for our peace. This sermon goes out this evening in this specially appointed service to, as the Lord said in our text, a little flock, a perfect number of people, 7, as he would have it, Not many more than that were in attendance to hear Jesus that day. I suppose there were 12, but one of them was not paying attention. He had his heart and his mind set on worldly things, and eventually he went to his place. So we see that our Lord is not concerned with multitudes for numbers' sake, but he speaks to the hearts of each one of us right now. Not only did he die for all, but especially he died for you. And so we see in our text, first, that Christians are God's flock. Secondly, that Christians are God's children. And third, that Christians are given the kingdom. And we'll elaborate on that. First, Christians are God's flock. That means that we are his dependents, like sheep. Our Lord doesn't have to fill out a tax return. But if he did, he'd be able to rightly list 5 billion dependents. We are all dependent upon God. Some of us are willing to admit it. Sadly, there are so many others who believe that they are self-dependent, or they are dependent upon the world, or they are dependent upon government for their answer. We are God's dependents for our basic care, for our safety, and for direction. Now, there are many who are considering their mortality at this time. For the believer, surely that thought has crossed our mind, because it's part and parcel with the gospel. We recognize that the wages of sin is death, and that God has sent his Son, a Savior, to pay that penalty, that though we may die, yet shall we live. And so we can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever." Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." What a promise, huh? We're in these difficult days, but you know what the Lord does? He promises us life, and life more abundantly. Life of a better quality. Life with him in it. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling. He does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. The Lord is not going to use the common expression, put any one of us out to pasture. Neither shall we do the same to any other of the brethren. One of the things that happens in difficult times is that the Lord makes evident, He makes a distinction between the sheep and the goats, the one who have counted the cost and will follow Him, and the ones who are mere professors. In their fail to persevere proves the falsity or the shallowness of their confession. Let it never be so for us, or to any who may be listening to this message. Under what better care can we be than the divine care? Christians are also God's children. We are referred to as His little flock. That's a really nice, endearing term. Like sometimes I refer to my wife as my beautiful little lady. Isn't that nice? But little flock, that's an endearing term. That's a personal term. That's the kind of term that the Lord shows us to express His personal love, care, and compassion for us. Now, in the general sense, of course, all men are beneficiaries of the universal fatherhood of God. We're all created beings. And He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. And He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But in the special sense, God desires that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Each of us, it operates, or I don't know, dwells under the universal fatherhood of God. But in the special sense, every one of us is either a child of our Father in heaven or a child of the father of the devil. The Lord made this quite clear to the Pharisees, the religious leaders in His day, who are ascribing His miracles to Beelzebub. One cannot be both a child of God and a child of Belial. Likewise, one cannot be neither. As a brother once said, the devil owns the fence. Now the scripture also says this. For we know that the law... Well, it says that, but that's not the scripture I'm going to. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And therefore, we pray as a young child speaks to his daddy. And we pray after this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is to this petition that Christ Jesus responds in our text. The one who prays Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, that aspect of the Lord's Prayer, in godly sincerity, will get this response, because it is written in another place, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven." Now, in Scripture, there are five types of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. Five types or aspects of the kingdom of God. And according to Dr. Fruchtenbaum, these are listed as follows. First is the universal kingdom. We talked about the universal fatherhood, right? Second is the theocratic kingdom. And that's generally associated with the law of Moses. That's the not just the Ten Commandments, but all 613 laws in the Old Testament canon. The third is the mystery kingdom. That's the kingdom of church age believers. Fourth is the messianic kingdom. That's the millennial kingdom, which is to come and will be populated by all believers, with Christians enjoying authority delegated by Christ. We are going to live and reign with him for 1,000 years, the scripture says. And we worry so much about our lives, which is but a vapor. 70, maybe 80 years by reason of strength, Moses the man of God says. And consider that we shall reign with Christ for 1,000 years on earth. And then that's not it. Then he's going to roll the whole thing up. And we're going to be with him for eternity. In the third heaven, where no sin dwelleth. Well, the fifth and final kingdom is the spiritual kingdom. We rejoice in living in God's present and eternal sphere of authority. So as Christians, which kingdom is being graced to us as a gift? The mystery kingdom, for sure. For we do enjoy living in the church age. How much privilege we have to have this whole canon of Scripture. We've got the whole book in our hands. We also shall be graced with the messianic kingdom, for we shall enjoy living in that age. But most in view here in our text is the spiritual kingdom. How does one enter the spiritual kingdom? How did you and I enter the spiritual kingdom? Well, by the new birth. For Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," here it is, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So with the flesh birth, right, everybody sees it. We got the, you know, the doctor sees it, the nurse sees it, you know, mom and maybe dad sees it. And there's all these witnesses, right? This is a well-attested thing, the natural birth. But the spiritual birth cannot necessarily be seen with the eyes, but it is witnessed to in our hearts. And it gives us great joy. It enables us to live in the peace and joy which God intended, even in these difficult, chaotic times. We are further kept and sustained by God's power, by God the Son, of his little flock. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So whatever's going to get me one day, whatever man or disease or pestilence may do to me, no thing has the power to pull me out of my Savior's hand. And I rejoice in that today. I thank God that He saved me for such a time as this. How imperative it is that we go and we share that very same word with others, and that we edify one another. Matter of fact, tomorrow I'll be going out with three brothers, and we'll be going, you know, throughout the city. We'll have our gloves on, and we'll be passing out our Bible tracts. Made a special one, which is addressed to Christians who may be having trouble coming to grips with the circumstances here around COVID-19, and especially unbelievers and skeptics, backsliders. And you know what else? What God has done, He is faithful to complete it in you. Therefore, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We talked about those five kingdoms. And guess who owns them? God, right? If they're His, they're His to give. And the scripture says that it's His good pleasure to give it to us. And if that's what He has set in His heart to do, it shall be done. And it is done. Though the storm of COVID-19 may have us in jeopardy, though it may seem like the boat that we are in is filling with water, though we may wonder at times if our Savior and our God Jesus Christ is there in the stern asleep on a pillow, the trial is upon us. And the age-old question resounds: will we pass the test? The Lord will get up and still that storm. Still that storm in our hearts and our spirits. And then He's going to look at us straight in the eye, and He's going to say, "Where is your faith?" And I hope that we'll be ready, and we'll be able to look right back into those eyes of fire and say, "My faith is in You, Lord." So let us be prudent, but let us live like kingdom believers. Let us conduct ourselves in faith and not fear. For perfect love casts out fear. What's the best definition of perfect love? God Himself. For our God is neither in the stern nor asleep on a pillow. But our God in heaven, the scripture says, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So let us direct our hearts and our spirits to Him this day. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for these truths. Lord God, strengthen our faith that we might be bold. Bold in our witness for You, because You first prepared our hearts. Lord, help us that we might be prudent and discerning of the times. But Lord, that we may be different and show the world something other than fatalistic anxiety. but show the world the hope that lives in us. If there is anybody listening to this message, maybe online or on a CD or what have you, and you don't have that hope, one way or another, you're running out of time, friend. And the scripture says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. These are difficult days, and who knows what difficult days are in store ahead, or how many of them there are. And if God is using these things to bring you to your knees, then heed Him. Heed the warning. Lord, that all in the hearing of this message might put their full faith not in things on the earth, but in your Son Jesus, who shed His blood. For a heavenly inheritance for those who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.